Thank you, Pratik, for the kind words that you have spoken. You must be wondering. Firstly, let me say a hearty good morning after a good breakfast that Microsoft, as usual, has given us, as well as for having spared your time from your busy schedule to be here for this purpose. You might be wondering what is a 60-plus man talking in an average age, should be around 30, I suppose, for the ladies in purpose, I'm giving that figure 30. But basic fact is that the very fact that a guy with this sort of an age profile is standing here and talking about digitization, which is a very, I mean, almost 21st century subject, indicates that today the world has changed. My own experience started only when I started doing my degree course, engineering degree course in the army, when Fortran was our language, which people have forgotten today. I was grappling with it. Then I moved on to COBOL when I did this course in Mao, which again, that bugging, debugging, it really bugged me all through. Then when I went to Army headquarters on a staff appointment, there I had to work on DBase. I thought I had mastered it, but by the time I came back to the regiment and started functioning, DBase was out and all sorts of other languages had come in. But PowerPoint always remained, because that is one which has been there with the academia as well as in the army. So I am here basically because our college has incorporated a certain few of these modern systems, which basically has been done by our team. Here Professor Dore is sitting here. He is our head of the department of computer department, and his colleagues from both computers and IT, they were the people instrumental in doing it. And what he was talking of as leadership being the prime thing, I think more important is the team which does it. So it is thanks to them that I am standing here today. Pratik has already spoken of this sort of a slide, so I won't waste too much time on this issue. Basically, if you look at it, what is it? We are looking at leadership issues, teaching learning environments, the teacher capacity building and learning environments. I want to highlight in the learning environment, today we are basically still focused on the physical and formal environment. But what I understand is that really speaking, you have to get into the virtual world more and more, and along with it, the informal environment, for which the social media network plays a major role. So I won't dwell too much on this anymore. If you look at this slide, we say the world has changed. Is it only because we would like to say it, or really has it changed? It has. I mean, I was just going through the, we have about 7 billion population, but the number of devices are more than 3. So they outnumber us 3:1. The sort of data flow that is coming in is much more than what we can consume. Now, the pace of change has become so fast that it's all the more for a guy like me who's 60 plus, finds it so difficult. I understand what it must be going through with other people who are not used to it. And this technology has really, I mean, disrupted both our personal and professional lives. In this sort of an environment, what do we need to do? Because there has been change around our methods of productivity, which is what business is talking about, and everybody is talking about it. We have to change that system in which we deal with things, whether it is in the formal business sector or in an institution like academia. And I feel it has to be in a spirit of sharing, doing things together. So what is our world today? 196 countries, almost 7 billion people, and almost half that population are the young age. So that's where the crunch lies. Education is where we have to go about reforming education, as everybody is talking about it all over the world. Now let's look at the modern student. He's always mobile. He takes on to these devices faster than we can think of, and he discards them also very fast. We are used to a hierarchical system. At least we in the army were, but I'm sure it's the same pattern everywhere, especially in Asian societies, where knowledge is power and we want to hoard it. Here, this new generation, they like to create creation of ideas, ideation. they do it in a collaborative manner and like to share things and express themselves. This sort of a scenario is a thing which has grown with them. We don't understand it unless we deal with them on a day-to-day affair. And of course, the social networks, we are getting used to it now, but I feel sometimes that the Facebook is like a jail actually, that all the time somebody is sent a message, you have to see that, and you see at the end of the day, where am I, what have I learned into this, but that is what they have grown up with, and we have to use this Facebook and such social networks to go ahead, capture their imagination. So why? Because it's evident we are living in a more and more flat world where the countries have to open the doors so that we belong to the 21st century. We are already into 21st century, but really speaking, we are lagging behind, I think, by another 10, 15 years, and we are getting into it. And as David Wallach said, that for the first time, we are preparing students for a future we really cannot describe. Things are changing very fast. When we talk of a 21st century literacy, what does it involve? I see my students who have passed out and have got placed. I find almost one out of every three students today, when they come as alumni, they have either been abroad or they are abroad. And this sort of a scenario, this global environment where they are, they say that the most important thing is that once I reach that place, I have to start learning again. So they have become learn to learn, which is the continuous learning process. Along with it, they have to learn to communicate and across culture, time and geographies. This is the same thing we are saying, that education has to create global collaborators because the world is interconnected. They say the years to reach an audience of 50 million in the radio era, of course radio has come back again, but it was 38 years. Whereas today with Facebook, it is 2 years and one doesn't know what it's going to be with the new sort of things that are coming in. India is no different. 1.21 billion population, probably by now it is already 1.3 by the time I say so. And half that age is the youth. And if you look at it, we are 1/5 of the world's youth population. So whether India likes it or not, the world will make sure that our youth has to be part of it because it's a global environment. And in this process, I think we are on the right lines and we are going towards that direction in a very fast manner. Just a look at what are the type of skill sets that we require. We already know that we have these oral and written communication skills, problem solving ability. But today, the IDC has also found that if you want to get things done, then you have to have an eye for detail, which we in the army always used to say so. That if you want to implement things, don't talk only in bigger terms, but get into the details. The devil lies there. And of course, organizational skills. Today, the world started, if you see the history of education, it started with apprenticeship model. You see in the European environment, I mean, it was personalized. Even in our Gurukul system, it was personalized. Then it has gone on to the standard curriculum today, which is just-in-case learning. And now it has gone back to the personalized learning, which is just for me. So just for me goes on to just in case, and it's going back to just for me. So what is the answer for personalization? Digitization, obviously. Oh, they say education in India today is still like a factory production line, where there are fixed curriculum, and the speed of learning is very slow. This is, I think, not only in India, it must be so in other places, but yes, it is still applicable. We have this list of key challenges. This we keep talking of any conference you go to. What are our challenges today for our faculty? Industry engagement, industry certifications, internships, industry exposure, pedagogical challenges, product-oriented approach, infrastructure. So infrastructure is the first step I thought I should address in AIT, and thereafter I saw automatically when the faculty gets exposed to this infrastructure and the students, they pick it up very fast. Let's look at it's a busy slide. Basically, you will see that what I am trying to say is that the learning environment, which I highlighted, that you have to look at both the physical with the virtual environment. Similarly, the formal as well as the informal. Now, that is the crucial issue. In formal environments, virtual environments, that is what digitization will help you to get. And of course, for this we have to use innovative use of ICT. Similarly, the teaching, learning, what and how students learn. We have to teach them our curriculum, no doubt about it, but along with it, the 21st century skills, which I talked of, communication and analytical skills, etc. And of course, the assessment system also may have to change. The fixed system that we are working on, already it is changing in these autonomous colleges, and this thing will start off in a big way, certifications by the industry, which have to be recognized by the academia. And you'll find all this can be possible when we use ICT in a more innovative way. The teachers themselves, how they go about it, of course, they have to change their ways, how to build up their faculty development programs. Along with it, the ICT will again play a major role here. And of course, the leadership development, which he's spoken of, Pratik, those will also be there. So innovation culture, a way of looking at things afresh, has to be part of our system every day. There's the same teaching workforce ready skills. They need to learn to be critical thinkers and problem solvers, which we showed what are the skills. They learn to analyze, they evaluate, and they learn to self-motivate. The data is already there. Actually, too much surplus data is there. So our students have to learn to look at this information, analyze it, evaluate it, and then work out their new knowledge and apply them to the new scenario. Now, this is the challenge that we have to see. This is from our Prime Minister Modi's thing. Basically, MOOCs, you know that these three US courses, Udacity, edX, Coursera's, they say the Indian students, applicants are more than what they have in America. And this has caught the fancy. I've seen even in our college, this has started off, a process has started. Virtual classrooms, we have made a beginning in our college by starting off with Google Hangout and Skype, but now with what we are getting in, the envelop, we are trying to make it more better. Distance education, of course, is growing manifold, which I don't have a personal experience from the college I'm in, but I'm told that it has tripled the number of people who are enrolled, as well as the institutions also have got more than four times. Students seeking higher education outside India. Now, this is in the last decade, it has quadrupled. I mean, 2 lakh people are going out, $10 to $13 billion are going out of our country for higher education abroad. Why can't we give them that education and they stay here and more people come back to our country from other neighboring SAARC nations or otherwise? And of course, industry participation, that is the biggest crunch issue. Things are happening, but at a very slow pace. This is where the whole crunch lies. How can we involve the industry in our education system? Because without that, all this in digitization would help us in a big way. And finally, I come to my last slide. What has AIT done? We had our Microsoft campus, school campus agreement since the last 10 years. Then the Microsoft 365 cloud-based solution came in the last 2 years. And we used it initially only for emails. We gave the unique email IDs to the staff. It matured. Then we gave it to the students. It was very difficult to get them to. They lost their passwords, etc. We insisted that our placement notices will be given only on these unique email IDs. And then the registrar office also issues the exam notices like this. Today, I think 75% students are opening it because that is a must. Then we moved on to the teaching learning process. We initially adopted Moodle, and it's an open source software. It is good. It served its purpose, but it had its problem, user interface issues, which I think we have gone on to develop. I'll explain to you. In the meanwhile, what we did was the Wi-Fi campus, where Professor Dhore had played an exemplary role. We went off with the hostels. Now we have taken on our academic block. So this Wi-Fi campus has been established, and along with it, we have got the National Knowledge Network connectivity this year itself, which has given us an additional 75 to 100 Mbps bandwidth, and along with the other facilities that it gives, it really will open up a lot of things. I had already told you about the MOOC courses that we have done, and we have adopted this envelope from this year onwards. From Moodle, we have transferred the teaching material, the lesson plans, etc. already. The class tests and assignments, we have started giving on those. The online discussions are happening. Yes, it's still at, I would say, 30-70 level, 30 satisfaction level, but it's growing. Where I saw with Moodle, it was 15-20, it has grown to 30% already. Our student information system, we've put it on the same system. Our virtual classrooms, I said, we have been using the Google Hangout and the Skypes. We are going to, the next step is, we go into the envelop for using this. And of course, the handheld devices, we haven't started it yet, but that will definitely help us in taking it forward. So they say an African proverb is there, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. So I am very sure my team is with me, the Microsoft is with us, and we go together and we'll go places. Thank you for your attention, and Jai Hind.